You're listening to Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. For more information, visit rightdirection.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today, Dr. Herbert Bailey continues with, I will not be choked.
Soweth the word. Mark 4, starting at verse 14, the sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they had heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure, if you allow me to say, only for a time. And afterwards, when affliction and persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. I'm continuing with the series today entitled, I Won't Be Choked. From Mark 4, 14 through 18, Jesus says, and it's recorded, this particular parable is recorded in all three of the synoptic gospels, which are Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Each of those, if you allow me to say, gives a different camera shot of the same scenes, a different camera shot from the same scene. John takes us into totally different scenes. But this one is recorded in all three. And Jesus said it is the most paramount of all the parables. When he explained it to them, and these verses are, Jesus explaining it to them. When he tells it to them, he says, they ask him to, well, what does this mean? He said, well, if you don't understand this one, you won't understand anything about the kingdom of God or any of the other parables. Because everything in the kingdom of God starts with the word. The word has to be sown. It has to be received on good ground, good heart, and then it has to germinate so it can grow and develop and bring forth the fruit or the harvest from whatever that word is sent to do. The words, Jesus, the scripture says, God says, as the rain cometh down from heaven and water the earth, so shall my word be. And I will send my word and it will accomplish anything that I sent it to do. But there is a condition upon that. The condition of that word accomplishing what it's sent to do is that the seed of the word got to fall on good ground, which is our heart, how you receive the word of God. Now, seriously, there's all kinds of stuff that keep us from receiving the word. And you got to be conscious of what they are. I mean, if you come from a church that every time you saw the preacher, all he had on was a black suit, okay, and a robe. And you come up here, look at this preacher's flashy jacket. Something as simple as that can keep you from receiving the word. And so you really got to know how the devil works. You know, everything ain't the devil, but a lot of stuff is the devil. And you got to realize that Satan will use whatever he can use to keep the word from germinating and it taking root. I was thinking about this. You know, some people what I'm saying right now, some of y'all receive it right now. If there was somebody up here who was 20 years old saying the exact same thing, some people would be shutting him down because of his age. And which is why Paul tells Timothy, don't let anybody despise your youth. Don't let these old folks punk you. Preach the word. Preach it in season. Preach it out of season. You got the word works. The word works. And you know, some people, they had a problem with Jesus. And they would have a problem with Jesus. He is preaching at 30 years old. It's all kind of things that people, that the devil uses to choke the word, keep the word from being truthful. And Jesus here starts outlining that the word, I'm the sower, I'm sowing the word, and God wants to bring forth the harvest. Or watch it, the manifestation, the fruitfulness, the productivity of everything that I preach to you. I made up my mind, I want all the word. Amen. I want all the word. And see, some of y'all, all you want to do is be financially blessed. That's really where your focus. You want to be financially blessed. Some people want to be financially blessed at the expense of their marriage. As long as I got money. Hey, if I got no money, I won't need her. I got no money, I won't. And so you want God to bless you financially. You only care about your home. Well, it is what it is. You know, you got to be with somebody. Okay. Watch it. I may not be happy, but we together. Okay. And when I read the word of God, that ain't God's plan for my marriage. So the Bible says you should rejoice in the wife of your youth. Not tolerate the wife of your youth. Rejoice. Okay. So I want to be rejoicing in my marriage. I want my family to be good. I want my money to be good. I want my health to be good. Are you hearing me here? And so I want everything you need for life, the Bible said, for life and godliness is in the Word. The Word is profitable for all things, having the promise of now and of to come. You realize that's what God says about His Word? He said the Word's not just for heaven. The Word calls you to prosper right here, right now. Everybody say right here, right now. Okay? And see, I grew up in church. All I heard was about heaven, 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 everything about heaven. My God, we rejoice so much about heaven. We sang so much about heaven. I mean, Lord, we thought about heaven so much. Sometimes I got concerned we're going to commit suicide. Everybody thought about heaven so much. Maybe we just got to go right. We need to go right now. And you know, and we've told, you know, that we got to bear these burdens, heavy loads, and God, you know, and the load you're bearing and the load you're carrying, but one day you get to heaven. And so one time, that's all I knew, so that's what I believed. And then I found out that God wants me to prosper and be in health, even as my soul prospers. And He's not, don't want me to wait for heaven to get it. Right here, right now. Ain't no talking about, well, I'm going to get a nice car and I'll go to heaven. You don't have to drive around heaven. You know, when I get to heaven, I don't have shoes. You're going to have shoes all gone. You don't need no shoes in heaven. There's no glass on the streets of gold. There's no dog poop on the streets of gold. Are you hearing me? Look at me. I need these shoes right now. Right? I need these. I just made up my mind. I want everything God wants me to have. And so watch it. I've also recognized in my life that there are people that God connected me with, who He had me around, who I needed to submit myself to, who had the Word in their mouth, that's going to cause me to have the manifestation of the Word in my life. Oh, that's good right there. They had the Word in their mouth that was going to cause me to have the manifestation of the Word in my life. And so I also realized that the devil wanted to choke some of those relationships. Because he can keep me offended with the people, come on now, who need to give me the word. That's another form of choking. Whatever the devil will have to do to separate you from having the word manifest in your life, whether that's getting you offended at your church, offended at your pastor, mad at somebody, caught up with whatever, he will attempt to do it. And so Jesus talks about three chokers that calls us, after we've heard the word, to keep it from bringing forth. And verse 19, he says, they are the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things. We dealt last week with the cares of this world, which simply means just worrying about stuff. How are you going to pay the rent? All your money spent. A little bit to buy some food. Baby need a pair of shoes. Then you got a light bill due. Telephone disconnect. Waiting for your next paycheck. Jesus will work it out. You don't believe Jesus is going to work it out. You've been talking about all these bills. And you joking. Some of y'all ain't been in church long enough to know what I'm talking about. That was the old song of the church. Back in the mid-80s and late 80s, some of y'all didn't know this. I was a DJ in Maine. It was the Maine gospel train. At first we were on, I was on from 5 to 7, and it was public radio. Really, it was public radio, so once a year, twice a year, we had fundraisers. Well, y'all know I ain't never had a problem with giving. So my radio program raised the most for the station. So we went from 5 to 7 until they put me on prime time on Sunday morning. And we went, and then I ended up being from 6 to 9. Right? This is Herbert Bailey. Welcome to the Maine Gospel Train. Well, you don't need a ticket, just get on board, because Jesus has already paid the price. the main gospel train. And then I will open up the request hour. For the next hour, I'll be taking requests. And the main song that was requested, can you play it? Jesus will work it out. My two main songs they requested, Jesus will work it out, and I'm coming up the rough side of the mountain. And I would always tell them, I'll see if we can fit rough side of the mountain in, because I never could stand rough side of the mountain. Jesus will work it out. Work it out. How you going to fit it? And, but have y'all heard the remix? Yeah. I like that remix. Me, Pastor Tim, went across the street. Pastor name, what, mama name, Pastor name. We was able to keep the house. The daughter got her shoes. Come on. Now, daughter, take care of me. I said, you better sing that thing, girl. Won't he work it out? But the devil wants you to get caught up like in the cares of life. And that's what we talked about last week. Cares of life, mental weights, and God wants us to cast our care upon him and believe and trust. Like he told Martha, you're careful about and troubled about many things, but the needful things, you get my word. And the Bible tells us we're supposed to do with care. We're supposed to cast it. Don't carry it. Cast it. I've been meditating on something I said by the Spirit of God last week. The world's supposed to look at us. When we go through the same thing that they go through, they're supposed to look at how we respond, and they're supposed to say, it just looks like they don't care. It looks like they don't care. Why? Because it's not weighing us down like it weighs them down. Because I learned to cast my care. And the Bible says, watch this, if I cast my care on him, if I pray about everything and worry about nothing, it says, and the peace of God. My God. And the peace of God, watch this, that passeth all understanding, which means the natural mind can't understand how I got peace in the midst of this storm. Supernatural peace that passes all understanding. It keeps my heart and it keeps my mind. So I'm not worried about what other people worried about. I'm not weighed down by what weighs other people down. I'm not depressed about what they're depressed about. We may come out the same house, might even come out the same womb, come from the same mother and father, but I got Jesus. They don't have Jesus. They worry. I ain't worried. And look, we may even look alike, but we ain't thinking alike. That's supposed to happen. The Bible literally tells us we can put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. The Bible says he'll give us beauty for those ashes. He'll give us joy for the morning. The Bible says he took our grief and bore our sorrows. Why are you still carrying around the grief and the sorrow? Because we haven't cast it over on him. And your flesh would tell you you're not supposed to. Your flesh would tell you you're supposed to look like this. But no. The supernatural peace of God. I'm not going to be choked. Watch this. I'm not going to be choked by things beyond my control. I heard Bishop Jake say something recently regarding death. He said, you mad at God for taking somebody who was going to die anyway, but it didn't happen on your time clock. There comes a time, y'all, we have to rest, rely, accept the sovereignty of God. Can I tell you something? Me and Pastor Marcus, we often talk about this because, you know, we really grew up in this church of birth out of the word of faith. There's some stuff word of faith folks didn't tell us. Nobody's talking about it. I know everybody thinking about it. We all live. We all got life. We just ain't dealing with it. And that we'll know a lot of what we didn't deal with, the sovereignty of God. That there's some stuff you can name, you can claim, you can blab, you can grab, you can confess, you can stand on a script, you can come with your 5-step, 3-step, 7 steps, part 1, part 2, 2A, 2BC, and it's still, after you've done all that, God is still God, and he can do what he want to do. So you got to make up your mind. This stuff that's happened, that's beyond my control, but I'm not going to be choked. Everybody say, we'll not be choked. I've already gone way beyond the time I want to spend on this. But the second thing, he says that chokes people, according to the word from what Mark 4 and 19, is the deceitfulness of riches. The first thing was the cares of life. Second thing was the deceitfulness of riches. And we said to choke means to block, to constrain, to keep you from breathing, to keep the life of God from working in you and flowing in you, and the word from where he wants to choke it, make it non-effective. Second thing is the deceitfulness of riches. The deceitfulness of riches. Let me make it plain. Got to get these monies. Got to get paid. The deceitfulness of riches. Even if you got to do it the Malcolm X way. Y'all know Malcolm X way? By any means necessary. So now the deceitfulness of riches has taken away, oh my goodness, the shame of certain things if the money in the end is justified. There was time it was a shame to be a stripper. But if you're a college stripper, oh, y'all come on now. If you slide down a pole so you can pay your college tuition, oh, okay. Now I understand. There was a time it was a shame to be a prostitute, call girl. But if you're doing it to get through med school, it's all right. The deceitfulness of riches. I know he's a drug dealer, watch this, but he gives to the community. The deceitfulness of riches. That some kind of way money itself becomes moral or amoral. And money itself is neutral. Money is neither right, money is neither wrong. You can get money in wrong ways, though, and you can get money in right ways. And at the end of the day, all money is a magnifier and an amplifier. All money does is make you a bigger of whatever you already are. If you're a wino, okay, I'm going to go way back, just for the old people. And all you can afford is booze bomb. Or Ripple. I just went way back. The young people, this for the old people. They don't know. If all that's all you can afford, Boone's Farm and Ripple, you making $100,000 a year ain't going to make you stop being a wino. Now you go over here talking about, can I have some Pinot Noir? Give me some Merlot. Somebody told me somebody recently was drinking. I said, what they drinking? They said, Molot. They're drinking a lot all the time. I said, Merlot? Merlot. See, all you drinkers know what I'm talking about. They drink all of Merlot? All money does. I heard somebody, a preacher, a bishop, say one time, he said, some of y'all, the reason why the Lord can't trust you and won't prosper you financially is because God can't trust you broke. Watch this. God can't trust you to live holy in town. What are you going to do if you give you money and you can fly women up to Vegas with you? He can't trust you. Come on now. You can't even go nowhere. You won't even live holy in town. Why are you going to give you money you can fly, come on, to some island somewhere where nobody knows you? All money is an amplifier. It makes you a bigger whatever you are. Riches, wealth, and material things are deceitful. Money and stuff will lie to you. Money and stuff will tell you, we will make you happy. That's a lie. Money stuff will tell you it'll make you sufficient. Or, excuse me, significant. Make you feel like you were somebody. Money will tell you, I will give you security. Money will lie to you and tell you, I will bring you friends. All of these things are lies or temporary fixes or an illusion of happiness, an illusion of significance, an illusion of security, an illusion of friends. Yet the scriptures constantly remind us of the deceitfulness of riches. And in a church like ours, where I teach you that it is the will of God for you to prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Where I teach you, it is the will of God that you increase more and more, you and your children. Where I teach you that it is the will of God that you be blessed to be a blessing. You got to make sure you still don't get off and deceived by the deceitfulness of riches. You got to know how to balance this message and these principles with what God says can be a deceiver. So Ephesians 5, 10, 11 says, he that loveth silver, watch this, will not be satisfied with silver. Ecclesiastes 5 and 10, he that loveth silver will not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is vanity. He said, you can get all the money and still find, you still got a hole in you. You can get, I need all this stuff, got abundance, got everything, but there's still a hole in you. There's a hole in man that nothing can fill but God. Come on now. And look at this, verse 11. When goods increase, they are increased that eat them. Oh, those are those friends. When goods increase, they are increased that eat them. The more stuff you get, the more people help, want to be around you, to help you spend your stuff and use your stuff. Look at this. And what good is there to the owners thereof, saving the beholding of them with their eyes? He said that at the end of the day, you got all this stuff and then got all these fake friends. Come on, let's look at the deceitfulness of riches. Psalm 39 and 6. Surely every man walketh in vain, in a vain show. Surely they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches and knoweth not who shall gather them. Get all this money and lose it, somebody else gets it. Because y'all need to understand, money does not dissolve. Money does not evaporate. Money switches hands. If you used to have money and you got, you broke now, your money evaporates. Somebody got your money. Do you understand? It doesn't evaporate. It doesn't leave the earth. So you can heap it up and somebody else end up spending it. And when a man love a woman, he'll give everything. And then after all that, that woman has spunked up your money. See, her girlfriend left. Child, he was a fool. I spun all his money. And they're on to the next. Nice man. Psalm 49, verse 6. They trust in their wealth and they boast of great riches. Yet they cannot redeem them from death by paying a ransom of God. So you can have all the money in the world. And you dying of cancer, you need a miracle. Somebody could have all the money in the world, dying of cancer, and they need a poor person who can get across a prayer to come see them. Yet cannot redeem themselves from death by paying the ransom of God. You can't bribe God with your money. Redemption does not come so easy, for no one can ever pay enough to live forever, nor see the grave. He's the only thing that's going to cause you to live forever and not see the grave or corruption. You need Jesus. Psalm 62 and 10. Trust not in oppression. Become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, don't set your heart on it.
Circumstances can come to rob you of your peace and choke the word that you already know. Do not let these distractions frustrate the plans God has for you. It is time to make up your mind that you will not be choked. Order today for your love gift of $15 or more. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. Ask for I Will Not Be Choked. If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereports@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.